everybody. Hey, everybody. It's Corey Poindexter here, as always, with my right-hand man.
You know it's Bob.
And we are also joined by Mr. Gabe Ross.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another ravishing edition of Ross Down Live.
Love it. Love it. By the way, if you don't mind us going into it, if you do, that's fine. We can just move on. But what happened last week, man? With the station and everything, is everybody okay? I heard you said there was like a shooting or something.
Oh yeah, it was just down the road, and I mean, yeah, everyone's fine. But it's one of those things where, you know, breaking news takes up the priority of the evening, and by the time you get out of there and get everything packed away and set up, it makes for a long night. So everything's good. In fact, we hit Donald Trump in the region again today, so that just made for another long, chaotic day. But fortunately, I was able to sneak away pretty early.
Jeez. Also, real quick, before we get into this week's wrestling activity, did you see UFC 203?
I did not. I followed the aftermath on Twitter.
Right.
Because, you know, I was very hopeful. I was hoping, you know, Punk would have pulled out the victory. Obviously, he didn't. But, you know, I think I'm with most of the other performers, you know, that are at the WWE level and even, you know, in other companies like TNA and some of the indie circuits. And the guy tried.
Right.
You know, I cannot blame him for trying. He lost, but at least he went out and tried. And I think he deserves credit for it. But too bad he lost.
Right. Respect to the fact that he at least tried it.
Exactly.
Do you think he stays in UFC? Do you think he leaves UFC but stays out of wrestling? Do you think he goes back to the indies?
I think he stays in MMA. I don't necessarily think he stays in UFC. But it's hard to tell whether or not he'll go back to wrestling, because he's pretty much a man of his word. And he's stated that, you know, if he goes back, it would only be to like a top company, and he's not interested in going back to WWE, at least not now. Down the road, maybe after a few more fights, he may realize, this is not for me. Why not? I've got, you know, nothing else going on, and hello, wrestling once again. But
we've seen
at this point, I
Stranger.
Think he'll keep doing the MMA stuff, just not UFC.
We've seen Stranger comebacks at WWE and people we thought we would never. I mean, we eventually got Sting. We eventually got Warrior back. You know, who knows?
It's a matter of time before Goldberg comes back. It's just,
right.
Mark my words, it's a matter of time.
True, true, true. Also, did you see the Cruiserweight Classic last week?
I did not get to watch the finale, but holy crap, I did watch it last night on Monday Night Raw. It was the last segment that I watched of Monday Night Raw, and holy crap, did they deliver. How awesome was it to see Brian Kendrick, and of course, you know, the other new guys that have come up, but wow, just, you know, it's the one thing that Raw's maybe got going for him that might work out pretty well. Might drag in some of those SmackDown Live viewers that are like, oh, these guys are getting a chance. Well, now we're seeing the Cruiserweight get a chance, and so far, so good.
Right. It's unfortunate that you saw the Raw segment before the finale, so that, you know, it's spoiled for you now, because I know when Bob and I watched it, it was breathtaking. It was incredible. It obviously made sense that both of the people in the finale were people who were already confirmed signed to WWE, but,
sure.
Damn. I mean, Bob, you were pretty blown away by the Metalik and TJ Perkins match, weren't you?
Of course.
Yeah, it was just an incredible match. So let's get into it real quick. Let's hurry up and go through Raw. Is there anything in particular you wanted to go over from Raw? Anything highlights or lowlights? Either one.
Not in particular. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, I still am holding out that SmackDown is the better of the two shows right now. I think Raw knows that at this point, and now they're trying to compensate a little bit and, you know, reevaluate, re-steer the ship to try to take that lead. They still got a way to do it, and I don't think they're going to hit the home run until they cut the show down to 2 hours. Got to be honest with you. It's hard to sit through.
Right.
But, you know, not a super fantastic show that I would tell people to go back and watch, but not a bad show either. You know, they're still keeping up the production side of it, and, you know, the talent they have there that they have booked is good. You know, the women's division is on top of it. The tag, the whole promos they have with the tag teams, you know, was rather entertaining, but, you know, still got some work to do.
And Bob, you felt about the same way about the show with it not being not bad, not fantastic.
Not bad, not good, but the show?
Sure, why not? Bob and I had also talked about, I called it with the whole Sasha Bailey finish from the previous week. I had actually said last week when they did the finish, I thought they were going to call out the fact that four shoulders were down. And, you know, I turned to Bob, said four shoulders were down, and that was way smoother of an execution than in previous attempts at the four shoulders down. You know, Bailey had the pin, and then Sasha came in, scooped, turned it into a bridge, had her shoulders down as well on the mat. I was surprised the commentary team didn't make any mention of that last week, which kind of, in all honesty, made them kind of look a little foolish, the fact that none of them noticed it and said anything. And now, you know, Dana Brooke pleading the case that there should be no outcome. And, I thought it was a little silly the way that Mick was like, oh, thanks for the idea. We're going to just make it a triple threat match, and completely ruling Dana Brooke out of contention when, you know, she could have easily said, oh, I want a rematch for the triple threat that she had for the number one contenders, because the other two, there was no definitive pin. Also, the whole twisting her words and then getting smacked by Charlotte, I thought was just sort of, I don't know, I thought it was weird. She went back to Charlotte, to going back to being the protege, despite sort of standing up for herself last week. And then this week, she's right back to where she was before she stood up for herself, and she gets smacked in the mouth again. I don't know if that's necessarily a great look for Dana.
Is she great at taking shots in the mouth, or what?
Yeah, right.
Giggity.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just, I don't think it's a great look for Dana Brooke, though. So,
yeah, she's starting to grow on me, oddly enough. Just a little bit. I've seen her kind of, you know, get over the first, you know, couple of match growing pains. Mm-hmm. You know, she's coming along. It'll be interesting to see her, you know, when she gets past this program with Charlotte and, you know, the other women in the division.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, she's growing on me.
She's definitely, her in-ring abilities have gotten better. I mean, she still makes some silly mistakes, but she's gotten a lot better in the ring. And I like her promo. I like her personality when she talks. She comes off as arrogant, and you know, she comes off as very, you know, self-confident, you know, going into that arrogant heel territory, obviously. I agree with you. I like her more and more. Any other thoughts from Raw?
You know, this is still a good time to keep messing with the formula and still be new and creative, but also still try to have that competitive edge with SmackDown. Right now, SmackDown, in my opinion, is winning, and so Raw's got a little bit of catching up to do, but I think there's still plenty of time to do it.
Thoughts on the show tonight?
Pretty good. I did miss the first segment because I was stuffing my face with a Little Caesars $5 hot and ready pizza.
You shill.
But
getting that plug in.
By the time I got into it, it was good. I think the first thing I saw was Daniel Bryan's promo in the back with The Miz. Ever since that promo that Miz cut with Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack, my respect for him has gone up quite a bit. And yes, he's, you know, still the heel, but my God, it just makes you realize how much of a great heel he's being. And I think the match played out very well. It was a very athletic contest. Both men can sell that God, they could tell, you know, shit to a cow. I mean, it was great. You know, obviously you got the screw job finish, which I think you knew was going to happen. That just builds up to the pay-per-view, but
right,
a great match.
I'll say that the throwing out of Maurice certainly helped elevate the tension because, well, it seemed pretty obvious that Miz was going to retain. They weren't going to do a title change on SmackDown. With Maurice getting thrown out, it certainly made you feel like Ziggler had much better of a shot.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I definitely felt like there was kind of a shift in momentum a little bit in the match, but yeah, again, it didn't seem like they were going to do a title change out of it. Although, you know, with the conversation he had backstage prior to the match, and then, like Bob said, when Maurice got kicked out, you know, it definitely opened up the door to that. Well, maybe, but I'm glad they didn't take the title off him. Keep building it up on The Miz, because he's hit a renaissance in his career right now. I mean, the guy's just on point when it comes to his heel work, promos, in-ring. I mean, the Daniel Bryan kicks in the ring that he was doing tonight, I mean, it's just so great, you know, watching The Miz finally getting, you know, and it's all due to this brand split.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How do you guys feel about the heel turn and where it's progressing with the Usos?
I'm glad the Usos finally turned. I don't know about you, Bob. Yeah. I just kind of felt like it was a long time coming. You know, they were feeling stale. I mean, I didn't care about them before. At least now I care.
Yeah, no, actually, I was thinking this during the match. You know, I was thinking, you know, obviously they go on to win and get their number one contendership slot. And they even definitely made a good point in the backstage segment where they said that, you know, you guys just barely beat us, and that was our second match of the night. I think I was honestly thinking to myself, I would enjoy a long heel run of Usos holding the titles.
Yeah, that'd
like,
be good.
Like, I think that would be a decent, like, full-on bad guys, but, like, still solid in the ring, not chicken shit heel title reign. I legitimately think I'd enjoy that.
Gives them another dimension to like how they do promos also. I mean, you saw the backstage segment with Rhino and Heath Slater.
Right.
And you know, they have that chip on their shoulder. It plays very well, and I, you know, as I'm sure many other people have said, it's a new dimension to their character, and it's really just cool to see how it plays out, because we really haven't seen the Usos as a heel before.
Speaking of the heel Usos, though, I will say that commentary tonight was horrid.
Yeah.
And most notably, David Otunga, especially during this whole segment, how many times did he bring up the stupid fact that he talked to their father Rikishi on the movie set of the Adam Sandler movie and then go nowhere with it? Like, follow through. You literally mentioned three times. Oh, yeah, I talked to him on the set. You didn't say what he said. You didn't say anything about it. You literally just mentioned that you talked to the guy. Like,
at all.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And also commentary last week.
I wonder if there was supposed to be a roll-in or something maybe that they missed.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, Mauro Ranallo, being the professional he is, you know, compensated very well. But, yeah, three times of, like, you know, are they missing a roll cue in the back? Or, you know, is just Otunga's needle stuck in the groove? What's going on?
Right. So, I think we were also talking about last week, the SmackDown commentary also had a little bit of issues last week with a few missed calls and labels, and
really, if all of announcing across WWE is pretty embarrassing, especially when you see how good it can be with like Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan on the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh yeah,
like those two as an announced team is so good and so on point and so knowledgeable and brings such passion and energy to a show. The two main roster teams are just like the complete opposite. They just sound stupid and uneducated, and they're just dull. Like during that Cruiserweights match, they just were half-assing the entire thing, and
and JBL is JBL, and the thing that I'm going to say here that I can't believe I'm saying is that, you know, Otunga makes Byron Saxton look very good. And granted, Saxton actually has gotten better, which, you know,
really has. He's by far, I feel, the most improved on commentary.
I still think that he's below Graves and Michael Cole in skill level, but I would agree most improved.
Uh-huh.
For sure. But it's not to completely shit on Morrow or anything, because, you know, everyone has an off night or two. And I mean, he's just getting started, so there's still some act. I mean, he's only been here a little bit before Mania.
Yeah.
A month or two before Mania. Cause I remember people were like, oh, give him a job at Mania. But I mean, he's only been here this year. So, I mean, he hasn't been there a full year. Give him some time to grow a little bit more, I feel like. And, you know, I think everything will be... I don't understand what the fuck just came on my TV screen. This is an ad for perfume.
No, it's just an ad for No Mercy that they're making look like a perfume ad. This is pretty funny.
This is beautiful. Wow. The Miz and Maurice right now. I'm sorry, guys. This completely took me by surprise. I just saw Maurice on my screen, which would be distracting enough, except for like lightning bolts and perfume bottles. Man. All right, well, that's that.
You need a moment? Yeah.
anytime I think anyone sees, well, we're keeping this PG. Anyway, moving on. You missed Alexa Bliss. Maybe this isn't PG. Maybe I should be careful. Huh. But you missed Alexa Bliss and Becky in the opening segment. I'm actually pretty excited about this feud. I think they still need to do a little bit more development, specifically between the two of them. But both of them have character, and I'm interested to see. I feel like it could be a pretty good women's match.
Oh, it'll be a great women's match. And yeah, they still have, what, two more weeks, three more weeks to build towards this. We got a pretty decent little promo segment of the contract signing.
Right.
I think
it's three more weeks, because this wasn't the go-home Raw, was it?
Yeah, it was.
This was the go-home Raw?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Man, now with these fucking...
Yeah, Clash of Champions is on Sunday.
Oh my God, with these split pay-per-views, I am just...
Yeah, you're not going to be here for it, and neither is Mo, actually, so I have to watch it by myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be watching it in Georgia. We can do, like, an American Tale, and we can both watch the pay-per-view and sing that...
Look at the sun, or the moon.
And, like, somewhere out there, I know Bob's watching the same pay-per-view as I am. It'll be cute. Love it. Gabe, you can get in on it.
It was a live sketch once, wasn't it?
Maybe, I don't know. Gabe, you can get on it too. You can sing, right?
Oh yeah, well, you know, I hum a few bars.
So I mean, is there any other highlights or lowlights either of you guys want to talk about from the show?
Nothing more that I won't get into on our weekly show.
True. Gabe, any other thoughts?
One I can think of is just, again, I'm very much on the fence with how Apollo Crews is being booked. You know, I hate that he's been relegated to jobber status. He's got so much potential.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
I don't know. I just think it sucks that you know, he just has to keep jobbing to everybody.
He's got such physical skills,
right? And exactly. And I'm an unashamed Crews mark, and I totally agree with you guys, but the worst part is he's not just jobbing to everyone. He's just jobbing to Corbin again and again. He's become the new Ziggler from 2 months ago. Like
he's Sin Cara to Braun Strowman right now.
Like,
yes.
The weird thing about Corbin is that he just goes on these long stretches of doing the same match over and over again, regardless of who he's paired with.
Right.
And it looks like the next one is going to be Swagger. And I'm agreeing with you here. Like, they need to do something with Cruz and make him better, because he's a wasted talent.
Yeah, yep. They're wasting. I mean, the guy's standing moonsault with a body frame like his is unreal. And honestly, you know, speaking of wasted talent, not to segue away from Cruz, but where are the vaudevillains? I haven't seen them.
Yeah, that's a good question.
At all.
Ever since
they've only been on like one.
Neither one of them failed the drug test, right?
Not that I know of. I haven't heard anything about a suspension. I haven't heard anything about them leaving. I just know that the last time I saw them was before SummerSlam. I know it had to have been before SummerSlam because they weren't in a feud for SummerSlam. I guess the last one they would have done would have been whatever the pay-per-view was prior to SummerSlam.
Well, didn't they take part in the didn't they get squashed in the tag team title tournament?
They were out first round.
They were in the tag team tournament, but they lost in the very first round. I don't even remember who.
Yeah, they were round one eliminated. Yeah,
I feel like it was either Usos or Hype Bros who beat them in the first round. But regardless, I do remember that they didn't get an intro. They actually came. Like, they came back from commercial to the end of their opponent's intro. So, they were already in ring, and they didn't even get, like, a title plate or anything. So, it makes me wonder, you know, did Cruz or vaudevillains do something backstage? Did they mess up? You know, what... It really makes me wonder, because both of them came in pretty hot. I mean, vaudevillains were put immediately into a feud with New Day and Enzo and Cass.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, the best place that you could have been prior to the club coming in.
They probably all got in trouble for dating Del Rio, too.
Of course.
Every single one of them got in trouble.
Of course, there have been only three names who got drafted in the draft that have not appeared on television at all since the draft.
Big Show?
Big Show is one.
Gabe, you got any guesses? We got three people who were drafted and have not been seen since the draft, one of which is Big Show. I just called him out.
On Monday Night Raw or SmackDown?
Both?
They are
combined.
I mean, it's across both shows, but combined. All three are on Raw. Spoilers.
But all three are on Raw, okay. So Big Show's one.
Okay.
Was drafted and was not seen and has not been seen since. Is it a tag team?
Nope.
Not a tag team.
Was Del Rio? No, Del Rio wasn't.
You're getting close with the Del Rio comments.
Paige?
Oh, well, Paige.
Paige
okay,
has not been on television. That's two.
Okay, so Paige and Big Show. Who else was drafted to Raw and has not been seen yet since?
I'll give you guys one more hint.
Okay.
She's a woman.
Well, it's not Alicia Fox. We saw her against Nia Jax.
Tamina Snuka.
No.
Oh, what? I don't know if Tamina was drafted, was she?
She was not.
She was not drafted.
Knowledge.
But we have not seen her. That is also a good point. Oh, shit. Oh, I swore. I'm going to have to censor myself now.
I think we're up to three or four of those.
I'm gonna have to scrub through this and bleep. Okay, wait. So it's a female superstar, not Tamina, not Paige, was drafted and has not been seen.
Uh huh.
Oh, Curtis Axel.
Ah, zing, zing, zing.
Oh man. Can I have one more hint? Is there another hint? Is that possible? Someone she dated, kayfabe.
Well, we're coming to the end of that season.
That season?
The Total Divas.
Is it a Total Divas?
No.
The end of that season. Fall? Summer Rae?
Hey!
Oh my god!
Hey! Got it!
Yeah! Summer Rae. Oh wow, where is Summer Rae? Wow. You know what? You know, the real bummer about that is that from all of the backstage stuff that I've seen, interviews, Swerved, all of the interactions I've actually seen with Summer Rae, she seems like she's like the nicest person in that company. Like everything.
Oh, yeah.
like the episode of Swerved where the old woman, it's like, oh, her catheter or whatever leaked. And then everyone else who was getting swerved was like, ooh, gross, pee. And Samurai was like, oh, you know, this happens to my grandma all the time. Let me help you. Let me get a towel. I'm not going to try to get somebody else to take care of this. I'm just going to take care of this. She seems so nice. And also, she just appeared on our TV screen on Ride Along. Like, as you said that, she showed up. Speaking of stuff on the WWE Network, it was kind of funny seeing Dean Ambrose come in for that talking smack and Renee have to pretend like she's not dating Dean Ambrose IRL.
Yeah.
Just awkward faces. All right, well, let's hurry up and get out of here. Gabe, what would you give Raw from this week on 1 to 5 stars? Let's try to keep it. If we do decimals, let's keep it to quarters. I don't want to have to try to do math with like a 0.387, whatever. So,
Let's say this week's Raw I'd say about a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
3.5. Bob, what would you give Raw from this week?
I'm going to agree, 3.5.
So we're at 7 stars right now. I would go ahead and I'll also give it 3.5, which puts us at 10.5 out of 15 stars. So not terrible, you know, not terrible. Also not fantastic. But there was a lot of entertaining stuff. What would you give SmackDown this week, Gabe?
SmackDown, I still give it the edge. I would say probably, take into account commentary, things along those lines, I would probably say, you say a quarter of a star is what we have to go down to?
Yeah, let's do it in like quarter stars.
Okay. I will give it 4.25 stars.
Wow. That's a very high rating for it. Bob, 4.25 from Gabe. What would you give SmackDown this week?
I'm just going to give it a little bit higher at 3.75.
Okay, so we got a 4.25 and 3.75. So that gives 8 stars total, right? So 8 stars total. I would go ahead and go with... I'd give it the same as Raw. I'd give it a 3.5. So putting us at 11.5, is that right? 11.5 stars. Yeah. I honestly just felt like Raw had a lot of great moments. I actually really enjoyed the Cruiserweight match. I kind of felt like it was weird not introducing, and Bob, you and I talked about this, about not having TJ Perkins, your champion, come out with the Cruiserweight title was a little weird. The last match was great. It just kind of predictable with the interference runs. And then, you know, with SmackDown, I felt like there was a lot of good stuff, but there was also just a lot of commentary botches, and just segments that I didn't feel like didn't work quite as well as they were supposed to. So, I give it about 3.5 still. So overall, looks like we agreed that Raw was not as good as SmackDown this week on the whole. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and get out of here, Gabe. Thank you so much for giving us your time again this week to talk about Raw and SmackDown.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
So you can find Gabe on Twitter at TV's Gabe Ross. That's TVS GABEROSS. You can find Bob.
You can also find me chanting "Let's go, Jobber" to people outside of my window.
Oh yeah, dude, totally. Oh, I also saw a really fun James Ellsworth sign in the crowd on Raw this week, which I very much loved. It was just a giant picture of James Ellsworth, and I think it said "Sign Ellsworth." That's wonderful. You can find Bob on Twitter at Bob Feckety. You can find me at CB Poindexter. And you can find the both of us at Small Package POD. That's POD like podcast or the band. We'll be back this week on Friday for our Friday Small Package show. Next week, I'm going to be in Georgia. So we're going to try to see how we can finagle the scheduling to get everything recorded next week. Gabe, well, it's kind of a toss-up to see if I'll have time to do Ross Down Live next week, but we'll figure it out. I'm also going to try to interview a wrestler while I'm down in Georgia. So that could be a lot of fun. All right, everybody. So we'll see you all this week on Friday on Small Package. And thank you for tuning in and have a great night.